Thank you for joining us today for Volume 3 of our artist interview series, Articulations. This program is a collaboration between the Margaret Sloss Center for Women and Gender Equity and KHOI 89.1 FM. My name is Nancy Gebhardt, and we are thrilled to introduce you to four amazing artists in our community, from whom you'll hear every Monday at 4 p.m. during the month of March. This is the third interview in this volume of the series, and I'm excited to be speaking with Joe Allen.
Hello.
Hi. 24-year-old Des Moines native Joe Allen offers a platform showcasing all humans. Joe Allen's main focus is to create a safe space where LGBTQIA+ and BIPOC members feel accepted and loved for who they are. They use a mix of film and digital photography to create a story worth telling. Their passion for visibility and representation is what allows them to create magic behind the lens. Joe hopes to continue a career in activism and start a nonprofit to bring more visibility to young local artists. Welcome, Joe.
Hello, friends.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing better.
Doing better.
Better, good. Yes.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here and so glad to have you as part of this series. When I was thinking about people to interview, you're always someone who comes to mind because when I think about you and the way you move in the world, you just embody being an artist, right? Beyond like what you create, you know, the physical creation of the things that you do, but just the way you move and the way that you occupy space. And I'm just so inspired and find it so beautiful. So I'm so happy to talk with you today.
Thank you.
As part of this series. So in regard to your visual artwork, I first became familiar with your photography, and I think that's probably what most people know of the art that you do. Can you talk about your approach to photography, both in terms of how you use it for artistic interpretation, but then also documentation?
Yeah. So I think when I first started in photography, there was more of this desire just to create work for others to like. So I was predominantly working with just like what appealed to my audience, and I wasn't finding a lot of satisfaction in that.
Yeah.
And it was around the time that I was going through cancer that I started realizing I was like kind of living this hidden life. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I think that's when I like embraced photography more as well. Mm-hmm. I started kind of documenting my journey with cancer a little bit, with like in terms of self-portraits. And that felt like I was actually doing something.
Yeah.
Felt like I was doing something that evoked emotion, that told a story. It was beyond just a pretty face in front of a camera. And so from there, I feel like with me going through cancer and kind of experiencing this end of the world situation at such a young age, it also like encouraged me to embrace my identity.
Yeah.
And so it encouraged me to like come out to my, you know, my dad and stuff like that. And I think like that experience kind of spearheaded me into wanting to work more with documenting my community and bringing more representation to the LGBTQIA community. And I think from there, even now, it's developed into, okay, I see queer representation, but where is the trans representation?
Yeah.
And so over time, it's kind of evolved as I have evolved as well. Like my identity when I was first going through cancer was, you know, I still had my name that I was given at birth, and I was going with she, her pronouns. And as I have evolved, my art has evolved, like so has my identity. So I think that's the beautiful thing as well is, yes, I'm documenting people in my community, but throughout all of this, I'm also getting to document myself.
Yeah.
And that's something that I don't think we see a lot of, whether that's like in the media, history, art museums. I don't get to see a lot of queer trans folks in front of me, especially their bodies.
I think it's so amazing, especially I think the component of self-portraiture that you create and how willingly you share it, right? Because I feel like since I've known you even, right, I've seen you, this photographic evolution that you're describing, right, as connected to your growing into your identity and all of those things. And the fact that you're willing to put all of that out there and say like, this is changing, right? Like I'm understanding this more, and art is a way of helping me understand this more and wanting to share that with other people. I'm sure that's such a significant thing to then, like what you're saying is that when you didn't see your representation or trans representation in different spaces, now somebody else is going to see your work, mm-hmm. right? And you're kind of like creating that mirror for them.
Yeah.
Which is so cool.
Yeah. And I think that's what I seek most in my work is vulnerability.
Yeah.
I think it is already incredibly hard to exist in a world that was not like made for you or not built to accept you. Mm-hmm. And so to like go into this world and to showcase ourselves through these portraits, like through raw, intimate pieces, it's already hard enough as a human being in general to like be in front of a mirror with no clothes on and look at yourself and love every part of yourself. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people can say that they do. And so to be queer and trans and to add that extra layer of like society's already shaming you for who you are and to be vulnerable in your raw self with the way that I'm working with folks, I think that's just like an added layer that I find very meaningful to me. It's, I can connect with other folks in the community that are cisgender or straight, but it's not going to be the same as folks in the trans community and like what we mentally, physically, emotionally, and socially have to go through.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that your art is there to for them, right? For mm-hmm. that community, for your community that you're saying, like, so that we can have this space, mm-hmm. this creative outlet that is safe and loving and celebratory and all of those things.
Yes.
Yeah. So I've also seen your photography mixed with some activism, mm-hmm. right, that you've done. I was remembering, as I was preparing for this interview, I was remembering a time being at a protest in Des Moines, and I see you zooming around on roller skates, carrying your camera, right? And then there was a point, I'm just watching you as you're doing this. This is, again, like part of that embodied artist that I see. You're just moving through the whole space on your roller skates, and then there's a point where you run up a huge flight of stairs. You run up a huge flight of stairs, and I could tell, I could like see it in your face that you're like, this is the shot I want, mm-hmm. because that's a better angle. Mm-hmm. And so you ran up the stairs in your roller skates, take a few pictures, and run back down. And I was just, the mom in me was like, Joe, be careful. but I loved it. It was amazing. And I also think it adds something to that space, to that experience, right, mm-hmm. of protest and being in the streets and speaking out and speaking up about the things that matter to you and your community. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about how you use photography in that way?
So, you know, right, you know, when BLM kind of was at the height of its existence in 2020, I was living in Ames at the time, but commuting to Des Moines all the time to go to protest. And I went to the first protest, I believe it was May 29th, I believe was the first protest in Des Moines that happened. And I brought my camera with me because I knew something was happening that we didn't really see before. I knew that people were hurt and mm-hmm. upset in a way that it needed to be documented.
Yeah.
And at first I was documenting it and it was beautiful. I was connecting with children, with families, you know, asking permission. Can I take a photo of your child, please? Mm-hmm. And can I get your information so I can send it to you afterwards? But there was a moment where I kind of stopped, mm-hmm. Because something inside of me was telling me, you're not here to do photos anymore. Mm. It's not about the photos. There's going to be plenty of other people taking photos. This is the point where you finally get involved. This is the tipping point. And it was being on those stair steps next to 9-year-old kids holding up signs next to me that put that spark in me to be like, what have I been doing my entire life? Why did it take just now for all of this to set me off?
Yeah.
You know, to really get me involved in my community. And I think like, there are times where we should document mm-hmm. places and spaces, but there's times where we recognize that we have a greater mission than that.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the beauty with the photography as well, is that it is something that has led me to different hobbies, but also passions in my life. Like mm-hmm. it's connected me to activism.
Yeah.
And now I'm able to incorporate my love for art in a way with activism. Like I can document protests and rallies and, you know, fundraisers and stuff that are going on, but I can also be there and be directly involved as well. And yeah. I don't think I would have gotten involved in activism if it also wasn't for photography.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the piece that connected me. That was like that bridge that got me over, that was like, okay, you're good at photography and you're doing something here, but you could actually do more.
Yeah.
So why don't you try that? And so I'm thankful that I did, because it really did open up a passion for me in activism. And that's why I, you know, got my minor in WGS,
yeah.
and, you know, was at the Slosshouse and all yeah. of that. So I think it's beautiful that it allowed me to explore really these other passions I have and be able to combine the two.
Yeah.
And to use them together, instead of feeling like I have to separate my love for creativity and like art with my love for social justice and activism. Like, the two can coexist. And so I'm trying to find ways that I can amplify that really in the community.
Yeah, I love that. And I love how it's actually connected, I think, to what you were talking about earlier, even in just recognizing how your creative purpose and mm-hmm. process is changing, and then how it changes alongside how you're changing too.
Yeah.
Right. And I would say, just from what you were talking about in early 2020 and then to potentially last year, mm-hmm. I attended a rally at the Capitol on Trans Day Visibility mm-hmm. that you organized. And it was, and you could see, right, this different type of commitment in that mm-hmm. space that you had as yeah. the organizer of that event, or one of the organizers of that event, to bring people together mm-hmm. in that space. Still in a way that still feels similar to mm-hmm. how you create,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So recently, you participated in an exhibit in Des Moines,
mm-hmm.
And you challenged yourself to use different, like, artistic skills
yeah.
to create. Specifically, you were working with painting and digital drawing. Can you talk a little bit about that project and mm-hmm. what motivated you to kind of explore mediums beyond photography?
Yeah, I think for a long time, I've always been like a jack of all trades. And it's really hard for me to commit to one form of art, but photography has been the main one for like the last 7 years.
Yeah.
And I feel like as an artist, I've kind of limited myself to just being a photographer,
mm-hmm.
not like seeing myself as this multidimensional like artist that can do multiple things, mm-hmm. you know? And so I really wanted to push myself to try something new. I'd always loved seeing people do graphic illustrations, kind of just like taking their own photos and manipulating them,
mm-hmm.
Kind of finding new ways to look at it instead of it just being, I take a photo and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and well, not even that that's it, but like I take a photo and, you know, that's kind of, well, all that it is. And I mean, I guess that is what I'm saying, but, with the illustration, oh, sorry. I did not mean to do that.
That's okay.
With the illustrations, I was really inspired just like by people in my community and friends, really, which is why I wanted to explore more with finding a new way to show love to my community in a much more intentional and thought out way. I do think that I like think a lot when I'm like planning my photography and like kind of what I aim to gain out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there was something with this project that felt much more meaningful because I'm searching for my community there. And my projects are actively involving the community.
Yeah.
Whereas most of the time it's just like, I just shoot with, you know, whoever I can. I tried to obviously work with people in that community, but the community is also so small.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so there's only so many folks that you can work with and that you can connect with.
And whose schedules match up mm-hmm. and, you know, all of those complications.
Whereas with the digital art, it wasn't a matter of us figuring out a time. It was, they submit a photo and then I'm going to manipulate it to kind of give it this Andy Warhol feel is yeah. kind of what I went for.
Yeah, it definitely has the pop art
yeah.
feel, because of part of it is there's some repetition
mm-hmm.
and then also the brightness and boldness of
yeah.
the colors.
Yeah. yeah, so there's repetitions of the color, and I wanted to have it like a distinct color palette as well. So it was like pink, yellow, this light blue, and like red and black in the center, so it could draw attention to that mm-hmm. body first. But when I was asked to be in the exhibit, I went in and talked to my friend first, because I was like, hey, like we gotta check some things out before my black trans self, you know, puts my art up in a church.
Yeah.
And I sat down with him in the church and I said, if you are going to restrict my identity in any capacity, I'm not comfortable with doing this. I'm not going to censor my body. I'm not going to censor other people's bodies. If I am involved in this art exhibit, you're going to accept me and my art fully as it is. And he said, that is totally fine. I already cleared that with the pastor. That's not an issue. And so I felt very comfortable putting my art up in a space where I typically don't feel comfortable.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a space I'm familiar with navigating, but it's one that you kind of always, you know, you got some questions in the back of your head of what are other people thinking? How mm-hmm. are they interpreting? How are they interpreting my piece of others yeah. and of our trans non-binary bodies?
Yeah.
So I wanted it to really be purposeful in the sense of it is existing in a space where others genuinely have to look at it and have to have that conversation either with me, themselves, or whoever
mm-hmm.
about it doesn't matter what lies beneath your shirt or what a person has in terms of genitals. Mm-hmm. It matters about just loving thy neighbor, which is why I kind of gave it that name.
Yeah.
It was intentional for me to take something from the Bible and flip it back to them.
Yeah.
To tell them, these are your own words.
Yeah.
So follow them then. So
yeah, it's like you're using their words to challenge them.
Yes.
Right? Like if this is what you say and this is what you say you believe,
then let's see it.
Then let's see it.
And honestly, the conversations that I had were all, you know, very concrete and meaningful. I think I was put in a situation where I typically was talking with folks that I wouldn't normally, you know, go out to and talk about just because existing in the space that they're in, I'm not in that space.
Yeah.
And things are different. And we have different beliefs. And I try to do the best to surround myself around people from everywhere. But at the same time, it's hard when they
you have to protect yourself.
I still have to protect myself. I still have to be mindful of what I do and do not share.
Yeah.
There's this added layer of, like, I don't even want to say insecurity because it's not. It's just like this added layer of fear
mm-hmm.
of like not ever being fully accepted.
Yeah.
You can listen to me and listen to me explain about my art, but it still doesn't mean that you accept me, my identity, or the people that you see in front of you.
Yeah.
You still might vote against them, mm-hmm. you know, in the next legislative session.
Yeah.
So it's difficult, but I found exploring these new mediums allowed me to have conversations I don't typically have, because with a photograph, you just post it on social media and that's about it.
Yeah.
There's not much in terms of like art exhibits for like photographers in mm-hmm. Iowa. So I thought it was something new to explore that allowed me to still connect with my community in a positive way, in a way that they could also come to the event.
Yeah.
Look at the art and be like, that's my body. That's me.
Yeah.
That's a trans body.
Taking up space.
Taking up space. Exactly. Yeah. Because I don't see that often around here
mm-hmm.
At all. And so I wanted to be intentional about showing the diversity of our body
mm-hmm.
and how all of us are at different points in our lives, but also that transitioning looks different for everyone.
Absolutely.
And that we are all at certain points as well, because like, in the image I created, I can look at multiple bodies and be like, I remember when I was that body. And I remember when I was that body. And it's like, oh, I remember when I had a chest. I remember when I had a binder and I had to wear that all the time. But now I'm this body.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can look at this art piece and personally connect with it, you know, maybe in a different capacity than what other folks not in the queer community can, because they can look at that and be like, I relate to this.
Absolutely.
And so there's also this mutual understanding of, you look at this art and it's sometimes actually really only to be viewed by certain people.
Mm-hmm.
There's only going to be certain people that are going to be able to look at it and understand that this is my community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, others might be like, I don't really know what this is, but the colors are cool and it looks cool.
Yeah.
But the folks who know will know. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of almost like this secret added layer of, I don't know, it's like a secret communication between us, that like we're here and we're existing and we don't have to explain ourselves either.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's almost like, you know, it's somewhat permission to not have to explain yourself, mm-hmm. right? You're like, let me do that in this artwork,
yeah.
right? So you don't have to feel that burden constantly, like mm-hmm. give you a little bit of space. But I also think about the fact that without a doubt, there are trans people in that church community, mm-hmm. right? And whether or not they feel safe or they feel comfortable being their full selves mm-hmm. when they're there, again, like your art being in that space, I can't even begin to imagine how that would feel for them, right?
Yeah.
To like feel and see that in this space that I'm sure is full of conflict for mm-hmm. them personally.
To know yeah. that like, that you can exist and live to the point where you can also, for folks that want to transition, that you can physically transition, you mm-hmm. know, it sucks because it might not feel like it right now, especially with all of the anti-LGBTQ and trans laws. It is already hard enough
yeah.
to be a trans youth in Iowa, but to be in a church and to be able to look at that and see representation in a space that you would probably never mm-hmm. see representation mm-hmm. of the LGBTQ community is, I think, astounding.
Yeah.
I think it's incredible of the church, but also I don't want to give too much applause to that as well.
Absolutely.
Because it's something that should just exist regardless.
Yeah.
Identity shouldn't matter in any case when it comes to really anything in life, but also art. And so I do think that what they're doing is something that's new.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing it as often. And I think that step is incredible. Now it's just the follow-up of how do you continue to support artists and support, you know, the communities that you're working with as well.
Yeah. Because you can put art on the wall, but
yeah.
then if you don't follow it up with mm-hmm. any kind of change or meaningful action,
yeah.
then you're just performative,
yes.
right? Then that's not actual support.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I do think that was good. You said that you'd had a chance to have conversations mm-hmm. and kind of a public invitation into the space to meet the artists and talk with the artists. And I think for me, that's one of the most important parts of art is the mm-hmm. possibility to generate conversation. But it also, going back to even the beginning of our conversation, that's such a vulnerable space to be in. And I mm-hmm. appreciate you sharing all of that, is that even in that space that, you know, you did the work to make sure that you would feel welcome mm-hmm. and safe in participating, but even still having that conversation, you always have to maintain that thought of, okay, you're listening to me, but mm-hmm. do you see me,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you accept me? And that's a incredibly emotional and difficult space.
Yeah.
And so I guess I want to just say thank you for mm-hmm. being willing to do that. And also like knowing that you don't have to do that, mm-hmm. but it's just incredible that people had that opportunity mm-hmm. to learn from you. And I hope
yeah.
I hope they listen.
Yes,
right.
I think most of them.
They vote better.
Yeah, I think most of them did listen, and I appreciate what you said, because, you know, it is a matter of I don't have to explain, but if I don't, then who's going to?
Right.
And so I just, you know, if there's something that I can do here in the meantime while I live in Iowa, it's educate folks at least.
Yeah.
And so that's what I at least try to do with my art now, is that I think art is activism.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I'm trying to find ways now to take my art and turn it into activism. For example, I mean, the Love Thy Neighbor piece, I printed off a piece of that and I put it on cardboard signs. So I went to the rally yesterday and I used my art piece as a sign.
Yeah.
And so it was like in this big box that I had cut out. And so it kind of looked like it was like, on display.
Sure.
Even
like almost like a shadow box.
Yeah, like a shadow box. It was almost like a shadow box. And it was interesting because I saw so many people looking at it. There's so many people that would stop by and comment about it. And it's incredible because I'm like, this is my art. But this is also people that live here. These are people that are being affected by these bills. These mm-hmm. are people that you should care about.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to take that art and use it with activism. So going back to like what we were saying earlier with how my photography led into activism, I'm now going from, okay, and that photography is going into activism, and the activism photography, it all goes together. And I'm able to now like use this art that I've created as a way to communicate with others
mm-hmm.
without really even saying anything,
yeah,
other than just like showing how beautiful that we are.
This collective of trans and non-binary bodies are.
That we're loved, that we're here, that we're visible, and that...
That we're your neighbors.
Yes. Yeah. And that we deserve the same love, protection, and care as all of your other neighbors.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really cool to, like, take that and use it for a rally and see, you know, how well it did also just, like, with other people interpreting it and being able to see it.
Yeah, and I think a wonderful opportunity to have it in a different context, too, mm-hmm. right? And that the people attending that rally are going to be significantly different than the mm-hmm. people that are visiting that church. But yeah. they're still all interacting with that same artwork. But it shows how what we bring to art, right, when we're looking at it and when we're engaging with it is so important to the art itself, mm-hmm. too, right? And gives yeah. it that opportunity for multiple meanings, multiple interpretations, multiple uses, mm-hmm. right? I bet you'll find other ways to use this art that you've made for yeah. the show, right? And in future scenarios where you can, because of the context, it provides an important use.
Yeah.
And a different use.
Yeah.
And I think that these new mediums, I think, will be great for you mm-hmm. for that. And that kind of exploring and giving new life
yeah.
to some of your artistic ideas.
Yeah. So. And just like showing it in a way of like, I really do appreciate seeing good signage.
yeah
you know, like there's been some incredible signs over the years that people have designed, and I've been reading this book about feminist non-binary inclusive design mm. and one of the pieces that I put on the back of my poster for the rally was by someone called Ernestine Eckstein and it was a Black lesbian woman that was one of the first, she was one of the, I guess the only Black woman to be photographed in the first, what was it called? They were like picketing at the White House, and it was the first like gay rights picketing. She was like the only Black woman there, and she made this poster that she designed that wanted to highlight being more accessible in the conversation of fighting for LGBTQ rights and protecting people more in the trans community as well. And so, I mean, I was like reading that book and I was like, this is perfect. Like, why? Like, I'm inspired by, yes, people in my community, but icons that I can look to, that I can resonate with. You know, yeah. I can resonate with being Black, with being queer, with being sometimes the only one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like even when I went to the rally yesterday, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie, I was looking around and I was like, darn. Like, I still have yet to see someone like me.
Mm.
And there were thousands of people there.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about physical appearance. I mean, I did not see many people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we were there. We were, you know, not to say that there weren't people of color there, but I look around and it still seems kind of foreign
yeah.
to be connecting with folks that might not understand the intersectionality of what I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
Which I think is like another added layer. It's beautiful to see such support, but at the same time, you begin to question the support for other issues in the queer community
mm-hmm.
and the turnouts that you see for that and the donations that you see for that in comparison to when something like cisgender queer folks' rights are on the line.
Yeah.
Then things are different.
Yeah.
Because the marriage equality bill isn't going to be overturned. That would take people voting on. I'd just like to say it was a distraction.
Yeah.
And it did what it did. It distracted. It brought more people out. It got money,
mm-hmm.
as it should. But it neglected 30-plus other bills that would directly affect kids now.
Yeah.
Marriage doesn't really matter if they can't make it to marriage.
Yeah.
You know? So it's beautiful to see people turn out and for to see the support gaining momentum again, but it's continuing that.
Yeah.
And then making sure that trickles down to not just the main issue,
mm-hmm.
but all the issues that lie underneath it.
Yeah.
Because I think we get really obsessed with, oh my gosh, this one bill is on the line and our rights are on the line. But it's like if we just read into it
yeah.
a little bit, did mm-hmm. a little bit more than just see a petition.
Mm-hmm.
We could take more steps that are meaningful to really genuinely impact the community.
Yeah.
And past just the money, just creating like even an atmosphere and just a warm space for us to celebrate.
Yeah.
It's hard right now. So finding ways that we can connect outside of rallies and building community and continuing these conversations, I think that's the next step that we have to focus on outside of media attention.
Yeah.
Because it can only do so much. I mean, media is good.
Yeah.
But media is also biased.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
I really appreciate the perspective that you're sharing on the rally, but then also just the politics of all of it and how it really was like a successful smokescreen.
Yeah.
Right. And you have to question how many of those people at the rally you were just at, the thousands of people, how many of them would have been there for the dozens and dozens of
trans
other
bills.
Trans bills that have already been being discussed longer, mm-hmm. right, in the Capitol building, as opposed to the marriage ban bill.
Like
right?
These were passing in January.
Yeah.
Like they've passed subcommittee.
Yeah.
So these are bills that have been around, but.
And if they forget the marriage ban bill, are all those people going to go away? And
yeah.
I think that's what you're questioning. And I'm so glad that you also brought up the concept of intersectionality, mm-hmm. right? And understanding looking at who is most vulnerable mm-hmm. in these situations. And that is the person that we need to center, and their experience is the one that we need to advocate yep. for, because that is the most vulnerable mm-hmm. spot to be in those situations.
And it feels like, I mean, we're in Iowa, the population is mainly white, mm-hmm. and I will like give credit to that. But it feels like even then we go to that rally and who is being centered?
Yeah.
What voices are being centered, which I do appreciate that the kids' voices are now being more involved, because mm-hmm. last year I was wanting them to be involved and I was trying to connect with them, but I just didn't know how to bridge that gap,
yeah.
you know? And so it's hard because even you still go to these events and I look at it and I'm like, this turnout is beautiful. This is insane. This is packed. There are kids, plenty of people, but then you start to compare.
Yeah.
And it's not that I want to compare.
Yeah.
But it comes back to that intersectionality.
Mm-hmm.
We see queer and like that's kind of it. Like we don't think about what are the other added layers that those queer folks might have
mm-hmm.
that are also important, because the most vulnerable person should be the person that we're protecting.
Yeah.
Because once we protect that person, that means everyone else mm-hmm. is protected.
Yeah.
And right now we're just seeing, you know, the top dog being protected.
Yeah.
And then all of the kids below just kind of brushed to the side.
Yeah.
So it's complicated, especially like me organizing that trans rally. That was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
A year ago, or sorry, it was a month away, because I did it on
yeah.
April 5th.
Yes.
And they did theirs on March 5th.
Mm.
And I took a photo of both of the crowds
mm-hmm.
because Jasper took photos at both events. And I looked at them and I was like, wow, we could fit all on the first row.
Mm-hmm.
And at the rally, it was like,
multiple rows
all the yeah. way down the Capitol
yeah.
and it just makes you go, dang,
yeah,
I wish they cared this much about the kids, or I wish they showed up like this for the bills that are happening, because
yeah.
you think this marriage bill is bad,
mm-hmm.
you can leave.
What about the kids that don't have a voice?
Yeah,
right? they have such a kids alone, right, they have such an unequal position of power
yeah.
in the world to
yes.
begin with, right? And then if you add on gender identity, trans identity, BIPOC identities,
yeah.
right? All of those things, like those are the people that we need to be centering and protecting. I appreciate mm-hmm. all of that. And I really hope that that's an opportunity for people to think about how they're showing up, right? And
yeah.
why they're showing up and when they're showing up
mm-hmm.
and then what they're doing afterward.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as an emerging artist, so I think that's a word I would use to
yeah.
describe you, as you're still, because I love how you're describing how you kind of like grow into your art and the ways it's intersecting with
mm-hmm.
all the things that you do. Gosh, this seems like a silly word, but I was going to ask about the challenges
mm-hmm.
that you experience when creating work
mm-hmm.
beyond potentially the
yeah, identity.
This kind of like social, yeah, political identity
yeah.
related challenges.
I think like the largest thing that makes things complicated is space and funding.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lucky right now to have an extra bedroom open that I can use as a studio space to like work on my art. But growing up, I've just never really had access to a space that I can utilize without having to pay anything. Because most of us emerging artists or folks that are into art and, you know, that's something that we do to also make money, most of us have a different degree or job. You know, like, we didn't go to art school. So it's really, it's hard enough. Making money and trying to figure out how to handle an LLC, taxes, all of that stuff. Because by the time you do all of that, you're really not making anything. All right, folks, I said it once. I'll say it again.
You just said the quote.
You're really not making anything. Our pockets are about as empty as yours. But I think that's one of the biggest challenges. Access to space. Space is a privilege. It's a very, very big privilege. And I think there needs to be more spaces that we can utilize freely. Or just have to utilize without having to front money. I think, you know, when I spent my time here in Ames, Lockwood was incredible about hosting art and art shows, and allowing me to just transform the space into whatever I needed it to be. You know, I did like my little, I think I did like a pride day where people could come in and they could get photos done at a donation. Because I want accessibility. I want it to be, you know, accessible to folks to get to, but also to afford as well. And I don't know, like, that event brought me so much joy because Lockwood was so willing to like have that there and host it and help with everything, you know, clean up, tear down, all of that. It's spaces like that that we need more of, like these community mutual, I would like to say like almost like community / mutual aid buildings where here's what we do as a job, like, so we can pay the bills, but really it's about having space available for people. And I think like being able to access Lockwood for the 2 years that I was here, it like inspired me. I was like, that's what I want. I was like, I want to do that. I want to have just good people, good energy, and a good space that we can transform and use for whatever ideas people have. You know, like, I think that that's a really beautiful thing to see because not, like I said, not a lot of us have access to the spaces, materials, resources that we need. And they're doing half of it by providing a free space for us to use, to practice, to host community and to grow as individuals. But with the community as well. And so I don't know.
I love those types of spaces where the response is to say yes and then figure it out. As opposed to saying, well, I'm not sure how to do that, so I'm gonna say no. And then, but there, it seems like, especially I think in art spaces, that that's, well, that's not, we don't typically do that that way, or, you know, the dates don't work, you know, whatever the reason is. But Lockwood, as you're describing it, I think is just one of those spaces that'll be like, you come with an idea and they'll say yes. And then, you know, that doesn't mean that you don't have all these things that happen in the middle of figuring it all out. But it's starting with that place of really wanting to be that support and that space for the community. And I think, like you're saying, is space and money, right? Like, we have to stop asking artists to work for free. And I think that's especially important for emerging artists because, you know, there's always that narrative of, well, you're getting exposure. This is an opportunity. You know, you'll build your portfolio. You'll connect, you know, whatever that may be. But recognizing that art is work, right? And that it deserves to be treated that way, in a way that where people are lovingly and appropriately compensated for that work.
And I think that's kind of the aspect that's missing is people want to uplift emerging artists. They want to give them the space, but then they're still asking for compensation. So it's like, if you're an organization or, you know, a small local business and you're putting up local art, you it seems kind of counterproductive to give that person a platform, but then also ask them to pay for providing them that platform. Like, that's the service you're doing for them, is giving them space where we typically wouldn't have space. Mm-hmm. So to then ask for money or a bit of the profits, it's just like a, I don't know, it's just like kicking you when you're already down. Like, yeah. You're already.
But that's the capitalist yeah, way, right? They're like, we're giving you something. So yes. You should, yeah.
But it's like, that's not how it works.
That's not how it works.
No, because yeah. You wouldn't ask your dentist to like do one of your teeth for free, right?
Right.
Or I'm not going to go to the restaurant and be like, actually, can I get my entire, like all my drinks for free, please?
Yeah, because no. I, you know, am here and people will see that I'm here.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, visibility for you. And so I shouldn't have to pay for my appetizer.
Yeah. I know, weird comparison, but I'm just like, yeah.
I get it though, right? But that's, to me, that's important to make comparisons like that, because that's, then people maybe will actually be like, oh, I never realized, right?
Yeah.
That it was... That you should pay people for the work that they do.
I think if anything, one thing that I've started to do at least a little bit more is if I'm talking to other folks and I'm like asking for a service from them,
yeah.
I'm going to offer my service back to them.
Yeah.
That way it's an exchange that benefits absolutely. Both people, because a lot of people ask for things of me. A lot of people ask, I ask for things from other people, and there needs to like be this giving back.
Absolutely. A reciprocity.
Yes. Yeah. And it's not like, oh, you need to design a full poster for me. It's like, okay, if you want to learn more about this, like, let's go out and I have a coffee. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not anything crazy big, but it's just finding ways to at least still show appreciation to people for their time, their energy, their advice. Because, like, it's a crazy world. We don't have a it's so busy, and so to make time for people to sit down and have conversations to help aid them in whatever capacity, I think it's like a smart practice that I've been putting into my life now, where I make sure to at least ask to offer a drink or a service or something in return for whatever they are providing for me as well.
Well, you've talked a little bit about even just the barriers you've had, the experiences you've had, even the what you took away from like your time working with Lockwood. But you also said that you were wanting to work toward building a community art studio space, especially one that was centered or kind of like targeting or geared toward young people.
Yeah.
And so I know this is still conceptual and we don't have a ton of time left in our interview, but can you share more about why, especially I'm interested in thinking about why you believe access to creative space is so important for young people and for communities?
Yeah, like growing up in Des Moines, you know, I lived more so closer to downtown Des Moines, but went to school out in Waukee, and so I had the privilege of having access to a lot of resources that I know my friends and folks around me did not. And even just like communicating with my friends or other creatives that grew up in Iowa, that grew up on a different part of town than me, it's crazy to even just hear about what resources they had available at school versus what I had access to.
Yeah.
Like we're talking about, you know, students at these schools, they don't even have enough laptops for each student to have one. Like it's two to a laptop.
Yeah.
Whereas I could just take home a camera if I wanted to, you know? And so like I recognize that I had that added privilege of going to a space that already offered me the resources. And it wasn't until I got out of that space that I realized not everyone has the same tools that I do.
Yeah.
Like I was privileged that I went to this space, and even though I wasn't like living there, that I was continuing to go to school there and getting access to things that others weren't. So I feel like just based off my experience growing up in that space, but also now connecting with the larger community of creatives and seeing, you know, the lack of resources that they've had as well. I've always had like a passion to create spaces for kids like that are creative. But I think talking to more people and learning like how hard it is to just get involved in art or that most public schools don't really have much of an art program.
Yeah.
That you can like either choose to go to PE or art is kind of how it is. I was like, that's not how it should be. It should not be an either or.
School budgets are going to continue being cut.
Getting like those are, shrunk. Yeah, they're just the school budget's going to get smaller and smaller, and there's going to be more things that are going to not be prioritized. There's a need for community spaces. There's a need for creative spaces for people to exist that isn't just like going out on the weekends and stuff like that. I think people genuinely want a space where they can like go and create. And it's not even just like folks that don't call themselves, you know, it's for folks that don't call themselves artists too. Yeah. For people that just want to experience art or do it. Having a space where they can actively learn, and artists can also like gain momentum by teaching people and by networking. I think that that's what Des Moines and Iowa in general is lacking.
Yeah.
Is we need a space. We need accessibility, which is the other added layer of making sure that that space is accessible to all types of humans. Mm-hmm. But we don't really have that. And I think that that could be a very safe space for folks to express themselves, to navigate who they are, both as a creative, but as an individual, and to also find mentorship.
Mm-hmm. Connection, collaboration. There's so many pieces.
Yes. And I think it's connection and collaboration that I want. And that's what I'm missing from this state.
Yeah.
Is that there's a lot of us creatives. There's a lot of us that are emerging too, but we don't have the space or people to vouch for us to have the space to do events and to do the things that we want to do for people in our age group as well.
Absolutely.
Because I feel limited here.
Yeah. And I love what this space could do for young people too in helping them navigate things that you've already had to navigate, right? Rather than allowing it to the next generation to continue and just have to kind of like figure these same things out and fight these same battles, and creating a space like this where there is that, like, again, reciprocity and like a mentoring relationship to, like, that's how you build slow change, right?
And to connect with artists that you might relate with identity wise. That's another added layer of it. You know, I didn't have a teacher that was Black until I was in college.
Yeah.
And I don't think I had a teacher that I knew was queer until like end of college.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of first time experiences with role models that I wish I would have had at a younger age.
Yeah.
That I think a community art space could also provide, because most of us emerging artists are under the age of 30. So
Well, I love this, and I, you know, hope that I can find ways to continue or find ways to support this.
Yeah.
And if there are things that I can do, please let me know, and I'd love to stay connected and follow this project. And so if people listening want to connect with you or your work, where can they keep up with what you're doing?
Yes. So I have an Instagram, and it is Joe Visuals. So it is at Joe Visuals, J-O-V-I-S-U-A-L-S. Or you can just look up Joe Allen. I'm probably, hopefully, on the internet somewhere.
I'm pretty sure you have a website.
Yeah, I have a website that I can. It's on my Instagram as well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So start with Instagram. Yep, and then
Instagram. But you can also find me on Facebook if you look up Joe Visuals or Joe Allen. I'm on the medias.
Yeah. Oh, Joe, thank you so much
for
being part of this series. I've really enjoyed talking with you, as I always do. And I appreciate all that you are willing to share and kind of challenge us in thinking, and both in this conversation, but then also in all the work that you do and the art that you make. And I wanted to say that the hat you're wearing, can I read it?
Yeah.
It says, "If we really knew each other, I know we'd really love each other." Mm-hmm. And I've just been looking at you and reading this hat, and I do love you, and I see you, and I appreciate you so much.
You.
And knowing you as I do, I guarantee that that's true.
Yeah.
Like, what's true on your hat. So thank you again. So thank you for listening to Articulations, brought to you by the Margaret Sauce Center for Women and Gender Equity and KHOI Community Radio 89.1 FM. Our interview is edited by Rosie Rowe. Join us next week, Monday at 4 p.m. for a conversation with Tashina Azur. To round out the hour, we invite you to sit back and enjoy a selection of songs picked by Joe. You can find the full Articulations playlist on Spotify or on the Sauce Center website.